Well, did you guys have a good afternoon? Yeah? So did we cause a lot of conflict? Is that what I'm hearing? So sorry. That was so accidental. We had no idea that that would happen. So, you know, I hope more than anything. Uh-oh. Thank you. Cool. I hope more than anything that you get, or at least I hope that we present in such a way that you know that we don't have all this figured out. That we know the techniques and we've taught this and yet we're not perfect. And even some of the stuff that we talked about earlier today, I mean, that's hard for us and we still struggle. We know what we should do at times and there are moments where we're just like, forget it. Let's just fight. Let's throw down and let's, you know. But I think the good news is we know what we need to do to get back on track. And so, am I on now? Maybe a little bit? No? All right. We'll just share this, I suppose. You're very sharing. So again, hopefully you're sort of seeing kind of for us the flow. Our hope is that you leave here getting that it is truly a fight every day to keep our hearts open. There is so much that's going to go on from busyness to exhaustion to schedules to all kinds of things that are going to shut us down. Of course, especially conflict relationally, it's going to be conflict. Hope that you're seeing that what happens within conflict is the fact that we just get our buttons pushed. We all have buttons, right? Did you guys figure out some of yours? Again, you're going, yes, we thank you for that. Okay, but I mean, again, our hope is that you can see the cycle that exists in your relationship, because now it's a matter of breaking out of that. And how we break that cycle is that what was number one? Do you guys remember what was one? So when our buttons get pushed, what do we do first? Yeah, kind of call that time out. You know, there's no way that we can make that conversation work if we try to press on when we're shut down, when our buttons have been triggered. And so we take this time out, okay? Now, again, it's important to tell each other, right? Because I don't think I mentioned this.
Yeah, very important, especially if your spouse, you know, usually it's females that have more of the abandonment, disconnected button, but sometimes it's males as well. So it's very important to let your spouse know that you are not running away, that you are taking a break. You know, 20 minutes, whatever it is you need, and that you're going to come back. And if you take that time out, that pause, it's your responsibility to come back and check and see, are they ready? Is your heart open, first and foremost? And is their heart open? Are they ready to interact?
Yeah, so then what are you doing then inside that space that you've created? What are we saying? Lots of things you could do, but what's one of the key things that you want to focus on? Yeah, naming your feelings, trying to understand, okay, which button got triggered? Was it failure? Was it disrespect? Was it feeling controlled? I mean, whatever it is. Well, if you can pinpoint that, that's great information.
And, you know, afterward, I was thinking and talking to some of you coaches that's a great tool to use with your players if they're, you know, if you can see them escalating, to kind of have them take a step back and really help them name what they're feeling, because it will physiologically de-escalate it. Just a free tip that Greg wanted me to share. It was all your idea.
Really? Wow. That's what a great idea.
You're so smart.
Because this is hard, though. Guys, is it not? Come on. What are we taught about emotions? Yeah, suppress them, stuff them, room in, don't what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love Garrison's first football coach when he's first time playing tackle football. And the kid, all the little kids are just getting hurt every which way. And so they come crying to coach, but, you know, my elbow got scraped, my knee hurts. And the coach would get right down on their level. And he'd look at the player and he'd go, well, the good news is, he goes, it'll quit hurting as soon as the pain goes away. And those boys would go, okay, coach. And they'd run off. Okay. But we're not great, are we, guys, at figuring out how we're feeling? And so this was hard for me. I mean, this is not like I knew how to do this any better than you do. I tell you what, it's worth it. And then when you figure out how you're feeling, what do you do with those feelings? Do you blindly accept them? Do you go on and make decisions based on your feelings? Or what do we do? Good. No one remembers. So
notice that was your point that you
that's
taught.
True. That was my point. Thank you. failure button just got pushed a whole bunch. So, does anybody remember? What do we do? That's
they
right.
All,
pursue the truth.
They all just
right.
looked at their notes.
Like
just.
Four people woke up. Hey, who's that? Where'd they come from? So, where's that Swanberg guy? Like him. He didn't make his work. So, all right, so we do that. Now, again, great in theory, makes sense, right? Hard to put into practice. So try it the next time your buttons are triggered. That's really when this stuff matters. We don't do this perfect. So the idea is to get away, get hearts back open. Remember, as Matthew said, first get the log out of our own eye, then we can come back. So now this is kind of the session where we're going to talk about. So what? Yeah, how do we have then a great conversation? But before we go, is there any questions that you have so far? I mean, we haven't really paused to ask anything. Is there anything that, as you've thought about this, you kind of mapped out your dance, and you're like, wait, how would this work here? Anything that we can answer is before we go on. Y'all a bunch of wimps. So, I ain't talking. You talk. Yeah.
Of course, hypothetical.
Exactly.
The neighbor.
You have a friend.
Yes.
That's right.
Or the neighbor.
He's sitting right next to me, though. Okay. Yeah, so in other words, if Erin was telling me that this is one of her buttons, or if I'm sharing this is one of mine, and we're not agreeing on if that's really a button or not, I would probably say that in this situation, I think any time that we're dealing with matters of the heart, that we've got to be so, so very careful. Because in that conversation, see, remember, I want to keep this safe for her. I want to know, and I want to understand these things. And there are buttons that she has that I'm like, really? You know, where did that come from? Or I mean, it doesn't have to matter to me. It doesn't have to make sense to me. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is I want to create an environment that she feels safe enough to share that. So if I'm pushing back, if I'm arguing, if I'm saying, well, that's stupid, you know, that's a dumb button, you know, whatever. I'm just saying if. I don't think I ever have. I'm just saying if. Really? I've done
no,
that?
I've never heard dumb button, but
yeah.
Yeah, maybe another one. No, some, but honestly,
I
some,
have really?
No, you have never.
I'm quitting.
Great. Well, actually, they shut your mic off for that.
Yeah, it's true. Does she even tell you to do that? You can tell me. She does this stuff to me all the time, so.
But honestly, some of the most intimate, deep conversations we've had is we kind of go on these searches. And it, you know, it's initiated by whose ever heart we're talking about. If it's something that I've become aware of, because I honestly there's always a new button to discover. And I mean, it's really they're there. We come with them into our relationship, and usually it's not because of our spouse. We come with them because of our life experiences. Even if we had the most perfect Christian home, we can still have things that we've interpreted, the way we saw things, so how we receive things.
It's a fallen world.
It is. And things that were said to us, done to us, I mean, whatever it was, we have them. And, you know, and there's times that he will come alongside of me and help me discover the root of a button. And so a lot of times it's more of this just intimate, deep searching, praying, and really discovering where did this sore spot, this tender spot come from. And it's not his job to tell me yes or no. It's his job to come alongside of me and help me and care about my heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would want, in those moments, I would work very hard to make my attitude to be curious.
Yeah.
That I would keep reminding myself. And we're going to share a great quote here in just a little bit. But it says that, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Mm-hmm. And so in those moments, boy, I just want to be curious. Well, help me to understand that, you know, just in show her that I care about that, rather or not that I agree or if it makes sense to me. So when you talk to your friend, you might just share that quote, maybe would be a good idea. So that's a great question. So any others before we move on? Yes, ma'am. Do you live on the same planet? Is that what you're saying? Yeah, probably not.
And I guess I grew up in the era where
Yeah, you know, I think what's significant again is that I've been told that I am to leave my mother and father and cleave to my wife, and the two shall become what? The two shall become one. Okay, if you go right before the verse right before the S word that you were talking about, okay, right before that it says submit unto one another. And so I think what we believe, and I would certainly believe that I am definitely the spiritual head of our family. But that's what, because we're married, though, we're one. It's not me over her, anything like that. It's just that we're one. I have different responsibilities than she does. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow morning, we're going to really talk about, okay, so we're moving sort of through this process of conflict. Something's come up. Okay, deal with me. Okay, now we're going to actually talk about it. But let's say that something needs to still be decided. Let's say that we need to make a decision. How do we do that in such a way that we feel like that we're still a team? And so that's what really we'll focus on tomorrow. So does that make sense? So, I mean, we'll hit on a little bit even more tomorrow. That's a good question. Anything else? Yeah. yeah, like
hypothetically.
Yeah. Yeah, and what do you do? How do you create space? Because it's not good. When you throw him out the window, it's not, you know, it just doesn't work out real well.
Do you remember we were driving from Arizona to Colorado? Gosh, and we had little kids. And we did not speak across the entire state of New Mexico.
That's a big old long state, too.
It was big, and it was long. And what is your question? What do you do if that happens? You know, what we'll say...
Just hold hands. It'll work out fine.
Really, that you can take a step back emotionally, kind of into your happy place. But really, you can draw some distance there. And you can process yourself through, even though you're not physically away from each other, you can take a step back emotionally and really go through the steps. You know, what am I feeling? Lord, right now, something's really pushed. What is it? You know, what's going on here? And really naming it and then praying about the truth with him sitting right there. And you might even tell him, hey, you know what? I love you too much to have this conversation right now. It's, you know, my buttons are pushed. I'm going to take a break here. But you're still sitting next to him. And that's hard. That takes some massive self-control.
You might need to, okay? If you have to do that, that's okay, too.
Maybe chewing gum or chewing something that you can't quite say anything else. Tootsie Rolls, lots of them.
Put praise and worship music on. I mean, you can turn around, stare out the window. I'm sure you were going to do that anyway. And, you know, might as well use that
we
time.
We naturally do that.
Hey, we got in a big fight. We were supposed to be on having a great date night and going up into the mountains of Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And I made some remark that totally pushed her butt. And we get in this big fight. Same thing. We're in the car. She's turning out. She wouldn't look at me. We're off in the middle of nowhere. Okay, and I'm thinking, man, we're on our way to go to a picnic. And I hate to picnic when she's not even talking to me. It's just awkward, you know? It's not real fun. So I'm trying to re-engage her. She will have nothing to do with me. And so we're now on a dirt road around a corner, and I had to slam on my brake because we almost ran into a horse standing right there in the middle of the road, seriously. And so I roll my window down. We're in a pickup truck, so I'm just going to tell the thing, man, you're going to get hit. You know, run off there, fella. And the horse kind of comes over and pokes his head right into my cab. I'm staring at this eye going, whoa. And I'm looking at her, and she will not look. I mean, she is so committed.
I am staring out. I'm not budging on this one. I am out the straight that way. Well, I can feel something wet on my arm, and I'm thinking, what is he doing? And
I lick her every once in a while, but not this time.
I look over, and there's this two big nostrils, and they weren't Greg's. Literally, this horse's head is right there, and it is spraying me with its nostril liquid. And so that is a true story, by the way.
And so we were eating some, remember Funyuns? Who's ever had a Funyun, okay? Those are, are they not the greatest thing? That's like manna. I'm telling you, that's what the Israelites were eating in the wilderness, all right? So we're eating these things. We're debating now. What do we do? Do I drive off? Will his head pop off? And that'll really ruin our picnic. And seriously. And so as we're talking, debating this, this horse decides he's hungry, wants a Funyun. Who'd blame him if you've had him? However, he chooses the one to eat was the one that happened somehow falling in my lap. I swear to you, this horse leaned down and went in my lap area. I'm just kidding you not. I mean, I let off this shrieking high pitch, Gee whiz. Horse hits his head, scared him. He kind of gallops on down the road, So try to recover from that, I don't remember how we got through that. Had three kids, so I'm all right. So don't worry,
I think you looked to me for medical attention since I was a nurse.
That's true.
For some reason, I had no empathy whatsoever.
That's true.
I had nothing.
You said, good job, horse, or something like that. Yeah. I don't remember. So anyway, so there you go. Don't get bit by a horse, all right? So that's the moral of the story. Well, hey, just maybe for the sake of time, we'd keep answering questions, and so maybe we need to start off tomorrow doing this. So as you think about, because again, this stuff will only work if you can figure out how to make this work. So as you're thinking it through, if something comes up, again, I mean, we're there with you. We've done a lot of these marriage intensives with couples for years and years and years. So let us know if you have more questions or if you don't feel comfortable, come up and talk to us, tomorrow breakfast or something, whatever. So let's jump in because I think we have 5 minutes. So I can't remember when we're supposed to be done. But this wave at me. All right, I'll look at Pat. So all right, so let's do this. So if we're sort of moving in this direction, do you see theoretically where we are now? We've dealt with our own stuff. Our hearts are now open. So now we're coming back together. So the question is, what do we do to come back together? So this is kind of the communication session.
Mm-hmm. And I know you would agree with this. The communication is challenging, is it not? But to add in there that 70% of the time when you're communicating with someone, 70% of the time there's going to be a miscommunication. So really, when you have an interaction with someone, just expect there's going to be miscommunication because 70% of the time there is going to be. Now you add in email, texting, Facebook, trying to communicate with someone. I've had more episodes of texting somebody something and they text back like, what's your problem? And you're like, what do you mean? That's not what I meant. Because when you take out, facial expression, tone of voice, it's even higher. So 70% of the time, so just expect that you're going to have miscommunication.
Yeah, here's a great example. Do you like these video clips we're showing you? So we keep showing you some of those. All right, here's a great example of just how hard it is to communicate, how easy it is to miscommunication. Here's a German Coast Guard trainee on the very first day on the job. So you're going to see his instructor kind of give him, what he needs to be doing. Watch how easy it is to miscommunicate. Watch this.
Das hier ist mein Sektor. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät und das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, Mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Over. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
Isn't that awesome? What are you thinking about? So, do you ever feel that way, that you're speaking a foreign language when you guys are trying to talk to one another? And it is hard. So what do we actually do, though? Kind of what we're going to present is sort of in a broad sense, all right? How do we communicate? You of course, have a speaker, and you're going to have a listener. So real quick, as far as the speaker, so one of you is going to have to go ahead and talk first. So now we've come back together. We're going to talk. Just real quick, one tip that we'd give you is that as the speaker, we're encouraging that your job is to focus on your feelings, especially. Okay, to talk about what was going on for you, what were the buttons that got pushed, but because it's easy to jump into when I'm if I'm going to speak, it's easy to talk about her, what she did, what was frustrating to me. But instead, talk about again how you felt. That's a way better use of that time. A lot less buttons are going to get triggered. And understand that the biggest challenge you're going to face when trying to communicate is the fact that your buttons are going to get repushed. You get that, right? This is a given. And so you may have to take another break. I mean, you're going to have to figure out, am I still open or not? If you shut down, then take a break. Come back together. So as the speaker, it's just real simple. Just focus on what's going on for you, your emotions. The real part that we want to spend time on, though, is the listener. Mm-hmm. So we think that this is the key to great communication.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a speaker and a listener, and hopefully you won't get your buttons pushed over who's going to be what, the speaker or the listener. But as the listener, instead of trying to be understood, it's not your time to get your point across. You're really trying to seek to understand. You know, you're not trying to fix the problem, debate the problem. Simply, you're listening and trying to understand and really get the emotion of what they're saying. And really just listen for that and the feeling that they're experiencing or had experienced through the interaction. So make your goal caring. There you go. So really, it's really about coming alongside of your spouse and just simply caring for them. And so then that quote that you already said, that you already gave away.
Stole your thunder.
You did.
Sorry.
But you can have it.
All right.
And so like he said, Teddy Roosevelt said, people don't care how much you know until they know you care. And there's times that we're talking, we're interacting, and I know exactly what he needs to do, exactly what I could say to help him. But it doesn't matter because first and foremost, he needs to know that I care about him, about his heart. So make that your goal, just to simply care. Doesn't matter if you know the right answer. Just simply care. And that, again, takes self-restraint and control.
Yeah. Now, and guys, let me ask you this. This is hard, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. Because when we're in the, you know, when we're coming out of a conflict, what is our tendency? What do we usually want to do? What's our goal? We want to what? Yeah, fix it, right? We want to solve the problem, and I'm there with you. I mean, it's painful at times because I can think of that solution that would end all this. If she just would give me a whiteboard and some colored markers, I could draw the dang thing up on the board, you know?
Or a PowerPoint presentation
and a clicker.
He could map it out.
Say it slower. Sexier. Anyway, sorry. Just kidding. Man, whoa. Lost it there for a moment.
And a Mac.
Okay. Jeez. But does that make sense, though? So this is hard. So I'm saying, so to the guys, okay, change your goal. We'll show you tomorrow how to solve it and how to fix it. That is step B. This is step A. A is all about caring. Make that your goal. I have to remind myself that when we come back together, the greatest gift that I can give her and our marriage is to care, just about how she felt. And that has become my new goal. Because I know that we'll get to the fixing and the solving. Because I'm telling you, when you skip over the caring and go straight to the solution, you miss something. You really do. There's an opportunity there. So how do we then do that? We're going to give you something called Love Talk. I know you're excited about this. And no, we did not misspell it, okay? Because some of you are like, they misspelled it. That's actually how we're spelling it because Love Talk is an acronym for something. So Love Talk stands for listen, understand, validate, and then empathize. So that's what we're going to talk about because what's really cool is when we come back together, we have an opportunity to take the relationship to deeper levels. We believe that healthy conflict is actually the doorway to intimacy. There's stuff that I can learn about Erin, understand about her, that really only comes from when we disagree. I mean, there's new things there that I can learn. But how do I draw the stuff out? And that's really what we're going to give you. So kind of each of those steps is going to take you a little bit deeper and deeper and deeper. It's really cool how that works. So to kind of set this up, we want to tell you a story about something that happened early on in our marriage. Kind of our good stories all happened early when we were still learning a lot of this.
Yeah, well, when we had no idea that we had other choices, our buttons got pushed and we just reacted, and so crazy things happened. crazy things still happen, but not quite as funny as early on. So one morning, it was a Saturday morning, we woke up. And do you guys ever wake up just on the wrong side of the bed? I mean, just irritable. It was a Saturday morning. I had to go to work. I was working as a nurse and just picking at each other all morning long in just bad moods. I can't even remember what we were upset about. But just throughout the morning, different comments back and forth, and it kind of was escalating a little bit. And I was just about ready to walk out the door to go to work. And I opened the front door up, took one step out, popped my head back in. I said, right before I had done that, I said, no more. Let's just talk about this when I get home tonight. Stepped outside, popped my head back in, and made one last comment. And I love, ironically, to get the last word in. So I got it, shut the door, and went off to work and left.
And I was standing there going, what just happened? I mean, she made me agree. I mean, there are a lot of things I wanted to say. But I was agreed to this no more talking. And as a matter of fact, how many middle children are in the room? Do we have any middle children? Okay, is any of your buttons unfair? Is that a button that you have? All right, that's one of the big ones for me. I saw your hand, by the way. Thank you.
It's very assertive.
That's what for me. That was totally unfair. She set the rules and she broke them, and then she's gone. So there I am, just standing there, stewing in the middle of our living room, just talking to myself, going, I'm babbling about something, but she's gone, and so. You know, what am I supposed to do? I guess it's over. Well, I'll maybe bring this up later, whatever. But she had asked me to get our laundry together. By the way, we lived up on the third floor, and the laundry room was right underneath us on the first floor. And so I don't know about you, but I hate, it's not that I'm lazy. I just hate working harder than I need to, right? And so I used to hate, she'd have me drag load after load of laundry down. It just irritated me. I'm like, there's got to be a better way. A more efficient way to do this. And one time we were at Walmart and we saw this massive, like it was huge, just mesh back. And I thought, oh, I could put all the laundry in there and I could drag it down, you know, and then it would be like one trip. As a matter of fact, the more I did this, the more I perfected it. And what I would do is I'd stuff all of our laundry in at once. I'd drag the thing out onto the railing and then I'd drop it. And then there's like hardly any work. And I'd just come all the way down and then just pull it right into the laundry room. So I'm still mad at her, and I'm getting all of her laundry, and I'm taking her clothes and knotting them up, and that'll teach her, and, you know. So I get all this done, get it all stuffed, I drag it over, I put it up on the railing, and I'm just about to let go when I see Erin walking. There she is. I'm thinking, why is she still here? This is like 10 minutes later. But there she is. I guess you stopped to talk to someone or whatever. She's very friendly. And so, but there she is. And so, do you ever have those moments where, in your mind, something makes sense at the time that turns out maybe it wasn't the best idea? Because in my mind, I thought, well, hey, well, as she's walking, what if I, and what if the bag dropped by her and she went, and I said, last word, that, you know, I could have the last word. That's like a big old word. And so, it all made sense in my mind, you know? But maybe the execution part didn't really work out that well for me, because as Erin came by, I did lean into the thing. And unfortunately, that bag of laundry fell, and it hit her. Now, not like on top of the head where it, you know, broke her neck or anything, but it hit her like barely on the shoulder, but it's such a big bag that it just launched her. I mean, she just went flying. You know, she's flying through the air, and her keys go, and her purse goes, and she lands on her back. And I'm thinking, oh... So sorry. That was not my intent. Okay? I mean, I'm thinking, this is bad, all right? And so as I'm looking at her, she looks up and our eyes lock. And instantly I realize I'm in huge trouble, because she does like this ninja flip thing back up under her feet and she starts racing up the stairs. And I didn't know she could move that fast, but she is hauling. And so I panic and I did what any real man would do. I did. I ran back into the room and I locked the door. And I'm just waiting, you know. Maybe she'll think I'm gone, you know. Who knows? Please, Lord, let her think I'm gone, you know. And so she, thankfully, she didn't grab her keys when she ran up. And so she couldn't get in. She hit the door and tried it and she's banging. You let me in. You be a man and open that door. And I'm like, I'm not a man. I quit. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and
what in the world?
Who knows?
How did we? We're still
what
together.
What in the world?
Yeah. I don't know.
How did I survive our first year?
I don't know.
I went to work. I don't know.
At least you didn't get bit by a horse.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Off I went to work. I came back, and I came home to all of the laundry. Anything possible that needed to be washed in our apartment was washed, including the couch cushions. You know, you can unzip your couch cushions and pull
they
the foam
dirty.
Out. And they were apparently dirty, so Greg not only washed them, he dried them. And so,
don't
therefore,
do that, by the way.
Yeah.
P.S. Don't dry those cushions. They shrink, okay?
I think I ultimately got a new couch out of the deal, but yeah.
Because they looked
to.
Like pyramids when she walked in.
Yeah.
What am I in, the Strip of Giza? This looked like pyramids or whatever.
Yeah. But oh, only if we would have known that when her buttons get pushed, you're capable of things like dropping laundry on my head. I mean, it would have been really helpful. But we really didn't know we had another choice at that point. We hadn't become aware of it. But truly, through the years, we've learned we have different choices. And then how to come alongside of each other and care about each other.
Yeah, what if we'd used that time apart? Thankfully, she left to go to work. What if we'd used that time apart to get our hearts back open, to deal with us, to get some perspective so that when she did come back, what could that have been a different, very different conversation? So again, how do we, once we come back together, what do we do? So let's jump into this, all right? So listen. You know, the essence of listening is presence. I mean, one word to describe really what we're trying to do when we listen is really to be present. I'm going to show you real quick what's really cool. You may have seen this before. This, what you're seeing, this is the in the Mandarin language, Chinese Mandarin language, this is the phrase to listen. This is the symbol. The symbol is actually made up of four characters that come together to represent the word to listen. What's amazing, though, is what these other words are that come together. Listen to these. The first one stands for eyes. The next one stands for ears. The next one is attention. And the final one is open heart. Isn't that cool? They know stuff over there, I'm telling you. That Confucius guy, I'm just saying, they know stuff. Okay, isn't that cool, though? That truly, I mean, if you think about it, that is the best definition of listening that I've ever heard. To put that into other terms, to be present with those things in mind is to turn towards your spouse. You want to give good eye contact. Okay, so you want to turn towards your spouse so that I'm able to give good eye contact. Because I think eye contact is one of the best things that we can do, right, to show that we're listening. But again, that can be difficult. Let's get this just for a sake of time. And also then to resist distractions. So if you're trying to listen, I would say those three things. Boy, if we can turn towards, give good eye contact, and resist distractions, because this can be hard.
Oh, yeah, especially for those of us who are extroverts and real relational, the cell phone. I know there are times that he is talking to me, and I'm sending a text, and, oh, just one more, just I'm almost done. But, you know, truly not giving him my eye contact, or I'm cooking dinner, talking to the kids, you know, while he's trying to share something that's happened in his day. So it's so important to set those things aside, turn towards your spouse, and really give them your full-on attention. I mean, I don't think there's anything better that will give them the sense of value and the sense of respect.
Yeah, and that's why, again, we've heard the verse from James that we should be quick to listen. So here's what we want you guys to do, okay? It's great. It's nice in theory. But what does that mean for you? So take 60 seconds, turn to each other, and define what does that mean? So how would I know? So I would ask Aaron, how would I know if I'm being a good listener? What would that look like to you? So maybe there's something in there, boy, that you've never heard your spouse say that's kind of a key for them, all right? If you want to, you can stand up if you're getting tired. But either way, turn towards each other and talk about this. What does listening mean to you? All right? Now your mark is set.
Something that
pipe?
No, no, something.
Oh, interesting.
I keep getting this corpse right here.
Like this thing?
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. I keep thinking it's a hair or something.
All right. So did you get it? Are you now figured it out? Good. Because again, remember, we're all different. So what may mean listening to me may mean something very different to you. So if you didn't finish that, again, you'll have a lot of time to keep going. So really define that. So L stands for listening, so I hope you get a better sense. So a little bit deeper now. So we start off listening. Now we want to take this just a step deeper, and that's really through understanding.
Mm-hmm. So when we're understanding, the equivalent of that is to be curious. And so to be curious, what that really means is to really ask great questions. And really, this is an art that I would say we have worked so just constantly with our kids, because it seems that their generation has really lost the art of asking good questions and just being really curious about other people and what their life is like and what they're experiencing versus talking about ourselves. So in order to understand, we need to be curious and fascinated by what our spouse is experiencing or what they've been through. So asking questions is very crucial.
Yeah, not only is it crucial for marriage, but I'm telling you what, asking good questions can literally save your life. Watch this video and you'll see what I'm talking about.
I got a nephew that I think a lot of, and he works for this oil company, and about 4 years ago they moved him down to South America, and I ain't seen him since. But he still thinks about me and my crabapple. Every Christmas he sends us a nice present. This past Christmas he sent us a live bird. Green bird about this tall, had a little yellow top notch on his head with some red on it, a hook beak, and sent it to us live from South America. I'll tell you something, that bird was delicious. Yes, sir. We had him for Christmas dinner. We fixed him with some dressing and some cranberry sauce, sweet potato scuffle. Well, after Christmas, my nephew called. I want to know if we got the bird. I said, we got him. I want to know how we liked him. I said, he was delicious. He said, you don't mean you eat that bird? I said, well, of course we did. Well, my nephew got all upset and just pitched a fit. He said, I paid a fortune for that bird. He said, that thing's worth a fortune. He said, that bird could speak 2 different languages. I said, well, he should have said something.
See? Being willing to say something, to ask questions, can save your life, but it can also strengthen your marriage.
Has anybody ever seen that before or heard that? Yeah.
Does anybody know what sweet potato scuffle is? Yeah. We didn't figure that one out either.
We're in the South, I think.
What's that?
We're in the South. I bet someone knows what that is.
Sweet souffle scuffle?
Souffle.
Oh, just souffle. Okay. Remember, I'm an idiot, so you're trying too hard. I ain't getting it, so I'll trust you.
Anyway, so ask good questions and speak up and be willing to ask great questions. But another thing that we want to encourage you to think about, there's 3 words that truly changed my life and how we interacted, and that is help me understand. because I'm not getting it. And so, and you know, when you go to someone with help me understand, it's a humble position. It's a position saying that you don't know what they meant, what they said, what they did. You, and often as women especially, we're intuitive. So we, you know, I know often I feel like I can read exactly what he did and exactly how he meant it. But instead, if I go to him not prejudging, saying I know it and I know I'm right, instead saying help me understand, is going to really make a difference. And I found that when I start conversations like that with someone, they're not on the defense. They're not defensive. They're not defending themselves. They don't feel like you're attacking them because you're simply saying, help me understand. I don't get it. And that's very helpful. And then I love this verse in Psalms 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You are familiar with all my ways. And he too, he knows us. He's fascinated with us. He wants to know fully who we are, and thus we should want to know fully who our spouse is. And as they change and as they go through different seasons, we got to keep asking questions.
Yeah. So what does that mean for you again? Okay, what does understanding mean? How would you know if your spouse was really seeking to understand you? So real quick again, just take a minute. And just talk about what would some of those key things be. Are you right? Mark and Seth, go. All right. Well, we'll keep moving along. So again, later on, if you need to keep going over this, some of the best information you can get is to help your spouse understand what these things kind of mean to them, what it looks like. So okay, so we've gone from listening, it was a great way to start, to a little bit deeper. Now I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Help me to understand. Okay, to a next step is to validate. And what I love about validation is validate really is about valuing. It's the message that you want to communicate, all right, is that you matter to me. What you feel, what you think is important to me, even if I don't understand it. I mean, that's the opportunity we have to validate someone. Because there are so many times that we're talking and Aaron sharing her feelings that I disagree maybe with how she could possibly feel that way. And did you ever do that? That makes no sense. You know, in my mind, I'm like, pfft. You know, that's crazy to think that. How'd you get that from that, you know? Or she'll share a fact. Do you ever get that one to where you're like, okay, I know that that's not how that happened. Okay, and I'll argue 20 minutes just on something I disagree about a fact. That did not happen 2 weeks ago. That was like, you know, 15 days ago at best, you know, you know, whatever. I mean, I get stuck in that. Does anybody else get stuck on facts, okay? What really happened? Oh, man. And again, what I have to remember is that I have a choice. I can either spend all my time arguing, debating, which is going to make the conversation feel what? Unsafe. And that's not what I want. And so validation is when I really make an effort, you know, to listen to her and to understand. I don't want to judge. No judgment. Leave the judgment outside. This is not about my time to evaluate what she's saying. I just want to really listen to understand. Love this verse. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention to what I say. See, that's what I want. I want to pay attention to what is she really saying so that I can get a chance to validate that. The way that we validate is simply repeating back what we hear our spouse saying. That's how you do it. You just simply repeat back. I might use phrases like, you know, so if I'm hearing you right, you're saying this, or is this really what you're saying? Or it sounds like you felt this way. Gives her an opportunity to correct any misunderstanding that I've had. Because remember, what percentage of the time that you communicate is miscommunication? So come on, even in this, even as I'm really open and listening, odds are I'm going to get it wrong. Because again, I've got all my stuff wrapped up even as I'm listening. So this gives her a chance to say, you know, close, but actually this is really what I'm wanting you to hear. Ah, okay. Now, the secret is, here's one tip that I've learned. When I don't agree with what she's saying, maybe it's a fact or a feeling. Let's say that she's sharing something I did. I'm just going, that is so not true. Okay, I won't actually say that out loud. Okay, what I've learned to do is that feelings are neither right nor wrong, good or bad. They're just feelings. So even if I disagree with the facts that she's saying, what I will do is I will focus on her emotion. Okay, so if what you're saying, if that's true, tell me, how is that making you feel? Okay, that's what you want to validate. So I don't get caught up. Actually, and it might be, is it on here? Yeah. Listen to this verse out of Ecclesiastes. Again, that really wise guy, Solomon, okay? That's a great verse. Don't pay attention to every word someone says. Isn't that cool? Because again, I don't want to pay attention to every single fact and figure because I'll get off track. I want to really zone in on her emotion. That's what we want to validate. Does that make sense? I tell you what, that takes us even deeper. So we go from listening to what? To understanding. A little bit deeper is validation. Okay? So again, real quick, another minute. Okay, what does that mean to you? Coach your spouse real quick on what would it look like to validate me? There's some things that Erin does for me, and I tell you, and it's when she repeats it back. That's very validating to me. Because then I know she gets it. And if not, then I just gently say, well, it's kind of this way. But what does that mean to you? So again, take another minute. Just talk about what would that look like? If I'm validating you, I would know that because I'm doing what? Just kind of coach each other real quick. All right, so again, we started off, we've come back together open hearts, still though, we're not connected, we're still pretty surface, so we listen, we then understand, we then validate, and I'm telling you, here is the deepest level of communication, this next step. This is really where some of the coolest things can happen. As a matter of fact, we believe this step is really one of the greatest gifts that you can give one another, and that's the E. The empathy.
Yeah, the E stands for empathy. And the essence of empathy is compassion. And what a gift we can give each other when we offer compassion. And what empathy is, it's not feeling sorry for someone, that's sympathy. Empathy is feeling sorry with someone. So it's really entering into their world, stepping into their shoes, and really feeling what they're experiencing, feeling their pain, letting it impact your heart, and showing them that it impacts you, caring for them in that deep, deep way. I love the verse, Jesus wept. Dennis talked about that a little bit when Lazarus died. And Jesus came how many days later? And he knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to raise his friend from the dead. But before that, it was the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And he showed them that he cared and that he felt with them. Their brother had died when he still knew he was going to raise him from the dead. But instead, he cried and he wept over the loss of his friend, even though he knew things were going to end well. And that's the essence of what we're talking about, that when your spouse is hurting, that you have that opportunity. You know, there's times that Greg has cried, but, you know, it's... I know. But, you know, really, what a gift that was. It showed me that what I was experiencing was impacting his heart.
I had something in my eye, by the way. I'm just saying. Yeah. Whatever.
And then this verse, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All of those words express compassion and empathy. And then lastly, people, I love this quote. People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. And when you think back to times that there's been a crisis in your life, crisis in your family, something really difficult that you're dealing with, what do you remember? You remember how someone came alongside of you, cared for you, and made you, how they made you feel. I mean, I clearly remember that going through the loss of my mom, through the loss of friends, that was the people who truly showed up and were compassionate that really impacted me.
So again, last opportunity. Again, what does that look like then for you? What would someone do for you that would show you that they're really empathizing with you? Again, that's up to you. So talk about that real quick. And again, maybe you haven't thought about some of these and you need some time to think. But do your best and try to help coach your spouse. Boy, if you empathize with me, this is what you would be doing. I would know you're empathizing if you were doing whatever. Okay? So again, take another minute, and then we have one more step, and we're done. All right. Well, again, hopefully you've gotten a little bit more insight into what that looks like. Guys, I'm telling you, this has been such a cool process. And we're not saying like you have to go, okay, we're in the listening stage now. Whoa, don't validate me yet because I'm just trying to understand. You know, we're just saying, just understand. There is a way, though, that you can take some a little bit deeper. to the deepest level of empathy, into the deepest level, which is to empathize with someone. But what we've often though realized is that that's not, we're not necessarily done. I think one of the best and most powerful things we can end this process by is to seek forgiveness, to apologize. So that's the little A in the talk part, okay? Wait, I know, it's really fancy and cool. Anyway, okay, so because here's what I used to do. I learned very quickly, and tell me if you ever do this. I learned very quickly in my marriage that when Aaron was mad at me or upset or hurt, that I could actually end this whole discussion by simply doing what? Yes, I'm sorry. Does anybody ever do that one? Don't raise your hand. I'm just, you know, I know. I didn't win quick enough. So
the secret's out.
Okay. But I mean, seriously, because I knew that it would end things, but I promise you that our opinion is that you have no business apologizing until you've empathized with someone. Until you really truly get how that felt for them. Don't even go there. That's why it's such a great time to follow this up after I have really gone, whoa. So that's what that felt like for you. All right, I get it. And see, that usually, at that point, our heart is so softened that now we're at a place where we really felt drawn into saying, oh my goodness, I am so, so very sorry. So the question is, how do we then apologize? All right, oops, hey, easy, go, hold on. Okay, so how do we apologize? All right, I want to show you a real quick video clip. We'll end on this, all right? This is, I think, one of the just best examples of someone apologizing. Okay, this guy literally has become like an apology mentor in my life. And who knew that Kramer from Seinfeld could really do that, all right? But this is masterful. This is the way you apologize. Watch this.
I must have been out of my mind. Look at you. Why don't you do something with your life? You sit around here all day. You contribute nothing to society. You're just taking up space. I mean, how could I be with someone like you? I wouldn't respect myself. Play! Play! I take it all back! Everything, I take it all back! Every word! I love you. I can't live without you. I'll do anything.
Hey, was that masterful or what? All right, that's an apology. All right, so how do we do that? We're going to give you just 12 words. All right, to do this. All right, so here's the first one. The first one is I was wrong. And what's nice about this, there's something powerful when we start off by acknowledging that we get that I hurt you, that I was wrong. Something's very validating about doing that. Great place to start, I was wrong. Okay, and actually, based on the fact that I was wrong, that actually hurts. I get that, and that makes me feel bad, and I am sorry for doing that. So I was wrong, I am sorry, which leads to then a question of, please forgive me. Okay, I get that I did hurt you, and I feel horrible about that, and will you forgive me? You invite that person in. And then because we're married, all right, then we add in this last part, which is the Kramer part, okay, which is the I love you part. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to turn to your spouse. You're going to practice these 12 little words, all right? And we've got to hear some Kramer-esque in there, all right? So we're going to be listening, all right? So go ahead, turn to each other. Guys, you start. Ladies, you finish, all right? So we're gonna listen for the Kramer. All right, ready, go. We hear it. I love you too. Oh, you're not talking to me. Oh, it's embarrassing. All right, ladies, have you tried yet? Because the guys are all right, okay? That wasn't bad. Can you beat them, though? Come on, ladies, let's hear it, okay? That's pretty good. I feel loved, and you weren't even talking to me. Well, Look, there's people smooching in the back. I don't remember that being a step. Do you guys have something on your PowerPoint?
That's why they sat in the back.
Yeah. Well, God is smiling at you right now, I tell you that. So, just saying. All right.
So, again, people don't care how much you know until they know you care. That is the essence of everything we've said. Make it your goal to care and to really come alongside. Don't tell them what you know. Tell them that you care. Show them that you care. And this is the great news. 70% of the time is miscommunication. Well, on the flip side, 85% of the time an issue will be resolved because someone feels listened to, understood, validated, when they feel cared for. So 85% of the time, whatever was going on is going to be taken care of. Now, that does leave 15% of the time, and we're going to talk tomorrow about finding win-win solutions and functioning as a team when you have a situation that you actually need to make a decision or do something. But 85% of the time, this process is going to, when you truly follow it and go through it, it's going to take you to that deepest level of intimacy, and the issue, whatever it was, is going to be gone.
Well, hey, Lord, we again just thank you for the way that you care for us constantly, that your love, your care is guaranteed. We don't ever have to worry if you're in a bad mood or if there's something going on in heaven that's more important. Lord, that your love, that source is always available to us. So, Lord, we upon that, we ask that just teach us how to do that same thing with our spouse. Lord, teach us how to get to that deepest level of intimacy, that spot that you've really reserved unique for a marriage, Lord. Teach us to be able to get there. Give us the strength, the courage, the endurance, the wisdom to do that. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Great job.